This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Okay, let's look at this one objectively. One win in 11 in all competitions. Without a win in 6 home games in all competitions. Only 6 goals in that time. But Sunderland yesterday in the only League One clash, of course, it's FA Cup third round weekend. Just one League One game yesterday. And Sunderland hosting Lincoln City on the back of a very decent run of festive fixtures, of course, beating Ipswich and Portsmouth in that time. Sunderland had a chance, despite everything that has come before them, of moving up to ninth with a win. Sunderland, despite everything that has come before them so far in the past few months or so under Phil Parkinson, had a chance to move within 1 point of the playoff spots with a win over Lincoln City. And they did just that. Quite remarkable when you consider the recent run and the feeling within the Sunderland camp, seemingly from players and fans. But there you go. Football is a funny old game, as Jimmy Greaves once said. Sunderland now in ninth spot, no longer at their lowest ebb in footballing history, no longer way off those playoff spots. They are looking up rather than down, because Peterborough's disastrous record in the past few games or so mean that Sunderland are 1 point within the playoffs, with, I might add, a game in hand over Peterborough too. Fleetwood are the same. They've got 2 games in hand. They're level on points with Peterborough. Bristol Rovers not on the best run since Ben Garner took over. We don't know what is going to happen there. Of course, Graham Coughlin moving on to Mansfield, and that momentum they had under Coughlin seems to have subsided just recently, without a win in 4 now for the Gas. But Sunderland, 2 wins from 3. This is the Sunderland Fan Show here on Love Sport, and we are going to hear from Niall Bromley, live and exclusive, as always, from the Roker Report. But before we get to Niall, we're going to get to Niall. Yeah, we're going to speak to Niall, because we spoke to Niall yesterday on the League One post-match fan show. And rather than go through some old ground with Niall, we're going to refer back to yesterday, because I had the fortune of speaking to Niall shortly after that 3-1 victory over Lincoln. And it's safe to say he was pretty happy.
Hello, Matt. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. I was expecting you to come in with Yaz and the plastic population, mate.
Well, actually, mate, it's actually 2 victories today. It's not just one, it's 2.
Go on.
The first victory was before the game, when we received an official apology from the referees, from the Chiefs, the POGML or something like that.
That's right.
About our recent decisions, which have gone against us, which, you know, that, I mean, I've never known referees apologise, but they did. Which is obviously, because obviously you had the Dobson one, you had the Flanagan header against Bolton, which got disallowed on Boxing Day, and then you had the, obviously we talked about the other day, the Charlie Wyke penalty, which was never a penalty the other day, and we got the apology. So, you know, which is,
I mean, does that appease fans at all, getting an apology? Are you like, well, it's great that you've admitted it and you stood up and admitted your error, but can you give us the points now, please?
Well, I mean, no, it doesn't. And the crazy thing about that is, I mean, I know it didn't matter, but Lincoln's goal today, I don't know if you've seen it, but it was a foul and also about 20 yards offside. So, I mean, it obviously hasn't, I mean, luckily it didn't affect the result in the end, but it hasn't worked with the referees as much. But the fact that they've actually apologised, and we would have gotten all 3 points against Fleetwood had that penalty decision not been given, that's what I believe. And you would have been talking 3 wins out of 3, and you would have been talking even higher in the league, would have been in the playoffs, and would have been staring down the barrel of the top 2. And, you know, that hasn't happened, so it's a shame. But they've admitted it, they've admitted they're wrong, and that means they might now look for a resolution, might now look for, sorry, a solution, and might now look to change it. Because, like I said to you last week, the refereeing has been disgraceful in League One this season, not just for us, for other teams as well. I don't know if you've seen the Doncaster-Oxford game the other day when the referee counted 7 yards for a free kick.
Yeah, that one went round, didn't it, on social media?
yeah, you know, like, this is something which has happened a lot more than what it did last season. Last season, I thought the officiating was bad. This season, it's been horrendous. So, you know, we got that apology this morning, which is something. And then the lads have put on a great performance. First half performance anyway. We won the game 3-1, but first half were excellent. I will say Lincoln were poor. They were very poor first off. I was expecting, considering they've had fantastic results against Peterborough and just over the last two games, I was expecting sort of, you know, a team of confidence who were going to come at us and really challenge us. They didn't in the first half. We kind of, they just couldn't contain us. I mean, they played the ball, to be fair. They play some good football, Lincoln. They're not a bad footballing team. And Mike Labberton's a good manager, but we just had far too much for them in the final third. And yeah, the second goal, it was a mistake for them. But again, it was us putting pressure on them and making it hard for them to play out from the back, which is what they like to do. And it came up with a goal. And that's what happened. And at the end of the day, we deserved the win today. Second half, we did what we had to do. It was, you know, obviously at half time, they're thinking, let's go for fives, let's go for sixes. But they came at us in the second half. They were a lot less nervy. They got behind the ball a lot more. And they tried to play their stuff. Like I said, they got that goal, which was a mile offside and also a foul, but it got given. But after that, someone could have
capitulated.
Exploring. Yeah, that's the word. That's the word. Sorry, I've had a couple of pints.
Listen, you do not need to apologise, because I'm going to flip the stats now, Niall, because we've always talked, and I did it just then, didn't I? One win in 11 in all comps. However, that's now unbeaten in five, boss. Tom Flanagan, his first league goal of the season. Lyndon Gooch, his sixth and seventh of the season. He's just a couple behind Chris Maguire now as well. You did say charitable defending there from Lincoln. Yes, I guess so. It was horrendous, to be fair, on occasions. But that is 1 point within the playoff spots now. And if you'd said that, what, a month ago, even a couple of weeks ago, you would never have believed it. Certainly a lot of Sunderland fans wouldn't have done, but that's two wins in three as well. The only way is up, and it's Wycombe Wanderers next. They just got 1 point in their last four. Of course, still top of the league, but you've got an opportunity here to really topple the table toppers.
We have. I mean, we're 6 points off second with a game in hand. And to see that after where we were a few weeks ago, you know, after what happened on Boxing Day and obviously the Burton defeat and the Gillingham defeat and everything added up, to see that now is incredible. And, you know, I'm not saying that we're going to get promoted automatically, but I'm now confident. I know it's only halfway through the season, but I'm confident we can at least hit the playoffs, which a few weeks ago I was thinking there's no chance. You know, I do believe that there's a few tweaks needed in the team. We're in January now. We could do that. Stuart Donald was on the radio yesterday and he was saying that, you know, there is funds available. We will be spending. We will be strengthening the squad. Phil Parkinson, I think, will, you know, want to do that, and he will want to make a few tweaks, and we'll want to, you know, just kind of add we do need fresh blood, and I think that's what he'll do. But like I say, you need to spend your money wisely. I know a lot of fans don't, but I do trust Phil Parkinson. I think he's got a lot of experience at this level, and I think he'll spend the money wisely. And I think if he's bringing some loan players in, I think he'll do, you know, he'll make the right decisions there as well. So for me, now it's looking up. Well, you know, we've had a good day today. We've had a very good result. We'll look on to Wycombe, as you say, which is going to be an incredibly hard game against a team which, for me, you know my feelings about them. I don't rate them as a team. I think that, you know, they're like, they're not cheap, but then, you know, they don't play the game the way that I believe the game should be played.
You're not alone. Personally. You're not alone in that, I don't think, mate. I think you could speak to a lot of fans of various League One clubs and they'd support that theory.
Yeah. And I mean, when we were linked with Gareth Ainsworth when Jack Ross left the club, I was against it personally, because I don't want to play football. I mean, we had this conversation on the Sunderland Fan Show week in, week out about Gareth Ainsworth, and, you know, and you would ask me if I'd take it for a 1-0 win every course. I would at the time. But do I want my football club to be tarnished with that kind of football? No, not really. Not like they are. Because, I mean, Wycombe, they're starting to come away a bit. They're not as, you know, they're not looking as good as what they were. The results are dropping off a little bit, as are Ipswich. I think they're finally starting to see, like, League One's not the, you know, the honeymoon period of what they thought it was at the start of the season, just like what happened to us last season. It's, you know, I believe if we beat Wycombe at the weekend, that's going to be a huge statement to the league. It's going to be a huge statement for our fans and for our players. And I believe we're capable of it. You know, they are going to roll around the floor. They're going to time waste. They're going to do what Wycombe do. but we need to overcome that. We need to, like I say, we need to get on top of it. We need to play our game, and we need to get the 3 points in that. Because if we get the 3 points in that game, like you say, this season has turned on its head just through this Christmas period.
Indeed it has. That was Niall Bromley speaking yesterday on the League One post-match fan show after that emphatic win over Lincoln City. And Niall Bromley is going to be speaking again, only this time he's going to be speaking live in the second half of our show, because he's back for the new year, for 2020, here on the Sunderland Fan Show. And let's not forget, 8 points from 12 over the festive period is a very decent return from Phil Parkinson. Is it down to Phil Parkinson? Is it down to the players? Are there still problems with the ownership? Of course there are. Of course there are. The fans are up in arms about Stuart Donald. But is it right to be protesting against him? Is it right that he has received untold amounts of abuse on social media thus far? No, Aidan McGeady, of course. But 9 points since he departed from the club. Now, we're looking at the best player for Sunderland over the past couple of years, really. But since Aidan McGeady has left, the team have got better. So is that something that you have to give Phil Parkinson credit for? He has always said, give me a bit of time. I need a fair amount of games before I can turn things around. He wants the January transfer window. We are now in January. He's got the opportunity to do it. Sunderland are within 1 point of the playoff places. It's looking all good. Niall Bromley live is next.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Yep, it's the Sunderland Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you for another 10 minutes before I bow out for our first Sunday Fan Show special of the year. And it's time, isn't it? It's time to get him back on the line. Good old Niall Bromley from the Roker Report. Niall, you've had about 24 hours just over to reflect on that brilliant victory over Lincoln City yesterday. How are you doing, young man?
I'm good, Matt. Are you all right?
Yes, mate. Very well indeed. Now, listen, it was a great victory. We spoke about it at length yesterday, but let's just quickly just reflect on the fact that it has been 8 points from 12 over the festive period. You could argue it should and probably could be more with regards to the poor refereeing decisions that we spoke about last night. But Credit now. Does it have to go to Phil Parkinson for turning things around for now? He's turned things around for now.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, you've got to think about it. The amount of pressure that lad's been under. I mean, he's literally had a whole stadium. Away fans and home fans on Boxing Day. Bolton fans, obviously, they've got a pass with them. They had a history. And the Sunderland fans as well. And, you know, singing, you're getting sacked in the morning. And, you know, you had the Sunderland fans singing Kevin Phillips's name, obviously wanting him to come in as manager. And, you know, he's got on with it. You know, he's come back with the results. You know, we've had some very good results over the Christmas period. Fleetwood away, like you say, I felt like we should have won that game, but it's a tough place to go and get 3 points, as is Doncaster. I'm wanting to did that. We have had difficult fixtures, and obviously Lincoln, who come off the back of two very good wins against Peterborough and Ipswich. And we're getting the points. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think you have got to respect him for it. And he's, you know, the bloke is never, he's never sort of seemed negative, despite how much sort of stick he's had. And he wasn't really supported that well when he came in. A lot of people were kind of, you know, not impressed with the appointment, and people were against it. But from what I've heard, I mean, I speak to people who have things to do with the club all the time, and apparently he's, you know, the players are playing from the liking him. Apparently he's, you know, he's walking around and he's giving everyone high fives on the training ground, not just the playing staff, everybody. And, you know, he's really up trying to uplift the place. And I do think he does deserve credit, because it can't be hard. Imagine everybody being against you, you know, doing their job and everybody's against you. And he seems to have, because I don't think the players were playing from originally. I don't think they were. It didn't look like they were. And he's obviously we don't know what's happened with the McGeady thing, but he's, you know, for whatever reason, he's decided that McGeady isn't to be part of the team.
Well, I mean, that's a massive call, isn't it? Right. So he's been huge. pretty strong in that call. He's made the call to let arguably Sunderland's best player of the past couple of years leave the club. That looks set to happen in January. But since McGeady left, that's 9 points. So he's made a massive call, but the team has improved.
Exactly. I mean, I always thought with McGeady, I mean, there's no doubt in that lad's talent. He is a talented player. And that's why he's played Premier League. That's why he's played Champions League. And, you know, he's played in Russia. That's why he's done. He's played for those clubs because in those levels, because he is good and he is talented. And you can see he's probably head and shoulders above everybody else on the pitch most games. But yeah, like I say, I've always felt like players maybe don't feel like they've got a freedom when he's on the pitch. I think, the you know, instead of maybe he's taking an extra touch that they can do, that they're capable of, or maybe he's playing another pass, that kind of always seems like they were trying to look for McGeady and maybe he's doing, you know, and it wasn't working and a little less freedom. I mean, the first game when McGeady was suspended, it was Phil Parton's second game in charge against Tranmere. We went and won 5-0 and had five different goal scorers. And I felt at the time that that was to do with the fact that the players seemed to be playing with a lot more freedom, and I think that that is what it's done. Parkinson, I mean, like I say, nobody knows actually exactly what happened, but, you know, he's put his foot down. He said, no, I tell you what, you're not going to play for us anymore. We'll go on without you. That's fine. Your talent's there. We know it's there, but we'll go on without you. And we're half, like you said, 9 points and just doing well, just playing well, playing better football and improving. And like I say, the players seem to be playing for him now. And the fans, a lot of them will deny it, but I think they are warming to the guy. And, you know, I've never wanted a Sunderland manager in recent years to do as well as what I want him to do, because he's come in and, he, like I say, he was never fancied by anybody. And I would love for him, against the odds, to take us up after everything that's gone on. I think it'd be a great story for us, great story for him, and a great story for football. And I would love for that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of what he's done with regards to the core members of the team, Niall, I think that's the huge thing, because he's settled on a pretty rigid 11, really, over Christmas. He made one change yesterday for that game against Lincoln, but it shows, like you said, the fitness levels as well, despite all the games. And he spoke out about this, Phil Parkinson. He said the lads' fitness levels are going up a level all the time.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things he touched on when he came in the club. He said that the fitness wasn't as good as we would want it to be. He said that. One of the biggest problems we always had with Jack Ross was the fact nobody ever thought that he knew his best 11, because he changed it every week. Every single week he changed it. You know, Dylan McGeoch was a player that he brought in from Hibs, and we all, what a great player he is, but never really fancied him. Parkinson stuck with that. Not played him since he's been at the club. I think he's might have played one cup game or something under Parkinson, but apart from that, he's not played him, which people are confused at. But if that's two managers making that decision, then there's obviously going to be a reason why. He's another player which is probably going to move on this month. Well, I hope he is anyway, for him, more than anything. But yeah, like I say, he's, you know, he is winning things over, and let's just hope this continues, because, you know, we do need to keep us, you know, the squad needs to be consistent, and the best way of getting consistency is playing the same team week in, week out. And the players seem to know their jobs now, and fingers crossed this can just go on and we can get 3 points and a very big win that it would be if we beat Wigan at the weekend.
Yeah, massive win, absolutely. He has said as well, Phil Parkinson, hasn't he, that they're going to have a meeting tomorrow with the chairman and the recruitment team at Sunderland and basically go through everything. A couple of names that have already been thrown into the mix: Antoine Semenyo from Bristol City. Now, he's yet to score for the Robins. He's had loans at Newport and Bath and bagged a couple of goals. Just 19 years old. At the other end of the scale, Sam Winnell from Sheffield Wednesday, of course. Now, we know him, an established Championship player, scored plenty of goals with Barnsley a few years ago, of course. Hasn't been able to really recapture that form since moving to Wednesday. He's slightly older, around 28 or 29. Would you welcome either of those?
Samiro, I mean, I haven't seen much of him, to be honest with you. I've watched a few clips on YouTube, but I mean, what can you take from that? Not much. I know that Chelsea were linked with him in the summer, or last summer. Chelsea wanted to bring him in. I think they just wanted to bring him in at the under-23s, but I mean, if Chelsea are looking at you, he must be half decent, you know what I mean? So, I mean, that'll probably be a little bit like the Kaziah Sterling loan. We had him on loan last year from Tottenham. I think it's just, you know, to boost the team, and maybe it's just something fresh to bring off the bench. You know, a little bit of pace. I think he's a quick lad, so I'd welcome that. And I've told you many times, we need fresh blood, and hopefully he can be that. Sam Winnell, yeah, you're right. He scored a few goals for Barnsley a few years ago. He had a loan at Derby, I think, last season. Wasn't great for them either, but I think League One's probably his level. The only issue I've got with the Sam Winnell link is the fact I think he's possibly too similar to Wike. And that tells me, if he's going to bring Winnell in, that tells me that Wike probably won't have as much involvement, which is a bit of a shame, because I think Wake's starting to kind of, you know, with a run of games, he's starting to pick up form and he's starting to look a lot better. So I think that one's, I'm not sure, too sure about that. I mean, if he needs to come in, he needs to come in. We need players, so if he's to come in, that's absolutely fine. But I think it would possibly give Parkinson a headache, and it would be a self-inflicted headache as well. So I'm not quite sure if that'll happen or not, but if it does, it does. But yeah, we're not quite sure what's going to happen in the window. We haven't really heard much, to be honest with you. There's been a few names thrown about, but nothing cemented. And I know we've got Ben Anik, who Parkinson worked with at Bolton. He's there. He's just training with the club at the minute, but he might bring him in. I know he would be third choice goalkeeper, but I think that possibly will happen, just to, you know, give us a little bit more depth in that area. But apart from that, like you say, he's having a meeting. I think the meeting probably should have been earlier than tomorrow, to be honest with you. But I mean, tomorrow's the 6th of January. They should have had that meeting by now, to be honest with you. But you know, we don't know how the club is. Fingers crossed that they can sit down tomorrow and look at these names and make the correct decisions in order to push this club forward. I wouldn't change it too much, to be honest with you, Matt. I wouldn't go drastic about it. But I do think we need fresh blood. I do think we need a few tweaks. But I wouldn't go insane. I wouldn't sign 6 or 7 players or anything like that. No way. I think 2, maybe 3 at a push will do.
Niall, lovely stuff, boss. Thank you very much for coming on, as always. We'll be back same time, same place next week. We'll talk to you then. That was Niall Bromley of the Roker Report. Things just looking up a bit for Sunderland now. Of course, I imagine many Sunderland fans were watching Jack Rodwell in action for Sheffield United today. Or perhaps they weren't. I'm going to end with a tweet from Stephen Elliott, of course, ex-Sunderland striker, who did tweet today and said, whatever your views on current owner of Sunderland, you'd have to say that 8 points out of 12 over Christmas is a huge improvement compared to Phil Parkinson's first couple of months at the helm. We need a bit of consistency going forward to get all on side, but the table looks a bit more respectable now. It does indeed. Wickham up next for Sunderland. They have not won in 4. We'll talk all about that next week on the Sunderland Fan Show. See you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.